This morning, I was on a phone call to a man called Mike Presson. And Mike Presson is the son-in-law of Peter Kasozi, who lives in Uganda. And we've worked with Peter, must be for well over 25 years. Mike runs a radio station called Burn Presson, the Burn Radio. And it's reaching a lot of people because of internet these days. It's possible not just to reach the locality, but to actually reach even into other countries. And he was telling me this morning that there are 9 very key schools that have given permission for the Burn Radio to go in and speak to the children. And that will be a vast number of children. And he says that the Living Hope program will be played, that they will hear the gospel. So things keep growing. I know a number of you know our son Steve, and Steve started to work with me in September, and that's progressing very well. He's really grasping the ministry in its fullness. It's wonderful, really, how even though he's been involved, he's still not fully aware of how big everything is. I've talked about working with 30 countries. He's looked into it and said, actually, it's 52. And it's not because I forget them as such, but I concentrate on what I'm doing rather than thinking of the wider picture. But it really is good. So do pray for Steve. And I think the plan is still 2027, that I will step back entirely so that he will take it over. Anyway, just a quick sort of update. Where have I meant? Yeah, it was the right one. Oh, well, that's a good point. Ah. Yeah. Yeah, good to have a little green button as well as a little red button. Okay, very good. Well, some of you have seen some of these pictures, but I saw some of them I want to run through very, very quickly. But obviously, we thank God for bringing Elaine and I together. Actually, it's slightly romantic coming here because we met at Falmer at the Teacher Training College. So we passed the point, and I passed the point where I used to, having been with Elaine, went down to the road and caught thumbed a lift into Brighton. But anyway, enough of that. But anyway, this is the wider family, and the person, if you don't know our Steve, the person who is fourth from the left in the top figure, that is Steve. And we were amazed in February when we went to see him in Belfast, and on the way from the airport to his home, he said, Dad, I just really feel God's calling me to work with Living Hope. And we were very excited. In my heart, I really felt it was right. And you have to discern it carefully because he's our son. But anyway, it's proving very right. Okay, the Africa family, well, there's always people that one can draw your attention to, but the people in the bottom row, second from the right, that is Peter and Rose Kasozi, who I just mentioned, their son-in-law, Mike. So the Uganda thing, and of course Mike is probably, he's probably about Steve's age. He may be a bit younger, but I'm really excited about Steve beginning to develop relationships, not just with my old friends, but with youngsters in the different countries, because that is the future. Okay, the Europe family, I draw your attention to a picture at the bottom, and it's the middle picture of the bottom three, and that's myself with a man called Jelko. Now, Jelko is building a church in Bosnia, and things are progressing well. Bosnia is not an easy country. The Islamic presence can be quite strong, and if someone becomes a Christian and has left Islam, they will not have an easy time. But Zhelka's been serving God faithfully there, and God's opened more doors to him. He goes into Croatia, he goes into Serbia, he's been in Macedonia, he's been in Romania, he's been in Poland, and currently he's in Bangkok. And that whole Asian door has opened up to him, and he's lecturing. He's a Christian, of course, but he's lecturing biblical subjects in Bangkok. Okay, SJ, I have mentioned SJ to you before, but he is quite an extraordinary man. God has opened the door to many, many Asian countries, and he's constantly looking for materials, tracks, to take into those countries. And certainly since I last saw you, he came to me more recently and said, are you okay for us to translate your tract, How to Become a Christian, into Chinese? And I've had wonderful reports of, it's about over 100, maybe 283 is the figure that comes to mind, of young Chinese people becoming Christians. And they are really working through the implications of that, because it means that they know that it's not a popular decision, but they are turning to Christ. They're disillusioned with communism, and they are prepared to seek Christ and find Christ. And so do pray for them. But there's also been tracks into Vietnam. There's been tracks into a number of other Asian countries which are reaching people. So and they're being effective. I mean, that's something that is the grace of God, isn't it? That, say, for some churches, Alpha has been a very effective tool, and people have come to know Jesus. There's other courses that people do, and other books that have been written. But tracts in some parts of our world are incredibly valuable, and people read them, and the Holy Spirit convicts people of their sin and their need to trust in Jesus. And so we've seen that happen in many different Asian countries. As well as having a television program that goes out in India itself, and that again, because of internet, goes wider into other countries. Okay, the South American family now. One of the things about the South American family is, of course, the time difference is considerable. When I was speaking to Mike in Uganda this morning, they're 3 hours ahead. When I speak to Eddie in Burundi, they're 2 hours ahead. When I speak to Malawi, they're 2 hours ahead. And when I speak to Sierra Leone, they're the same time as us. So that's a relief. When they say, can you ring 7 a.m, that's not too bad. But if you're asked to ring Uganda at 7 a.m, that would be 4 a.m. here. So not so good. Anyway, the time differences matter. And this evening in Peru, one of the churches that we have fellowship with through Chio. Now, let me find Chio. Chio is in the middle row, and one, two, three in. Oh, well, two in. It's Chio with Pastor Lewis. And they're having a meeting, 6:30 I've got to ring them at 6:30. So, oh, yeah, that's right. 6:30 this evening will be 12:30 their time in the morning, because we're ahead. Oh, I tell you, how do I keep up with it? You know, ahead, below, same. Anyway, it's great to share God's word, and it will be very exciting to share with them. I probably have drawn your attention to this, but the man in the bottom row, there's three pictures together, and the man on the left is Carlos. And I'm always so encouraged when we have a regular Zoom meeting, with the South American people. We have Carlos there, and he's in a hospital on a dialysis machine. But he's so committed, he joins us on a very regular basis, and it's very, very exciting to work with him. Chio, the one I mentioned in the row above, in the middle with her husband, she is Peruvian, and she's out there at the moment visiting her mother, and so she will be my interpreter when we have the meeting tonight. Okay, just to say, always looking to support planting in new places. Turkana is a very, very tough part of Kenya, in the north of Kenya. And there is a bit of a Wild West situation. There's a lot of cattle rustling going on between the tribes, and it can get very violent. Anyway, a friend called Peter, he was out there, and he asked if I would preach, and I preached, and he interpreted. That was a fascinating situation. It's not unique to me, but you have to go very slowly, because he will translate me into Swahili, and then there'll be somebody who'll translate from Swahili into the native dialect of the country. So you can't race. You have to be very methodical, very, very careful. But anyway, one man was listening to the message, and I just touched on the need to value the Ten Commandments, including you shall not kill. Well, there was a man in the congregation who was really convicted about the fact he knew, with his tribal stuff, cattle rustling and so on, he'd killed somebody. And he just felt really convicted. Isn't it important to let the Holy Spirit do his work? You could rabbit on to somebody, you need to change, you mustn't do this, you mustn't do that. Well, it's not that we can sometimes do that out of genuine concern, but sometimes it just, it's water off a duck's back, it doesn't penetrate. People just don't pay any attention. But when the Holy Spirit says, you've done this, you need to get this right, then people change. So it was wonderful to hear how he had come to Christ. Okay, the literature world continues to grow. The monthly Bible study is now being translated into a number of languages, and some of the old studies have begun to be translated into Swahili and also into French. And that's been really good, because if you're speaking to people in the Ivory Coast or in the Congo, then they're more akin to French than to English. That used to be true in Rwanda. Now, the Rwandans are now adopting English far more. And so it's great. We have the Bible study translated into French. And also, I have a friend who was born in the Congo, and so he speaks French very well. And I have a regular meeting with him. I preach. He translates into French, I record it, and then I send it to people in the Ivory Coast, into the Congo, and other French-speaking people. It's just wonderful how we're able to use modern technology to increase the spread of the gospel. And so that's been good. And so some of our literature, the guy in India has requested things like the Bible, the pastor's handbook that one wrote a long time ago, and also an essential doctrine little booklet, and there's other topics and books. So the demand is there, and although I do intend to hand over to Steve, it seems that I'm going to be kept very busy for some time in some way or another. Anyway, we're nearly there. The Burn Radio, I just mentioned Mike this morning. This is Rashid in Pakistan, and he, again, values our support immensely, because he's in a persecuted country. He's faced persecution himself. It's not easy. And those floods out there recently, still are proving devastating. You know, when people have severe flooding, if it stops raining, it doesn't mean it's the end, does it? Sometimes it can take a long, long time for a country to recover. That Jalko that I mentioned, this is Aubrey. He's been beaten up by Muslim thugs, but he still goes on preaching the gospel, still seeing people regularly come to Christ. And this, not the best picture, but this is a picture of a man called Abraham in the Ivory Coast. And he was badly beaten up again by thugs because he's a Christian. They picked upon him. Michael Bengali, he's the one on the left. He, in Guinea, was beaten up. He's been beaten up twice. And these people really suffer. Just set upon. Michael was in his house at night and he heard a bit of a rumpus and people came in and he was badly beaten. And he had to find a fresh home. Oh, yeah, they did more than beat him. They burnt the home. And this is what some of the people face that we work with. Okay, but there's my dear wife and I, 52 years, still very much fond of each other, very much serving God together. And thank you for your prayers for Elaine. You know, she's had a bit of a rough ride, health-wise, still working through it, but we value your prayers immensely. Okay, let's stop there.